Amma bak. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is the 25th of December in the year 2017. Alhamdulillah, we've completed the second week, the 14th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the veritable sword of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And yesterday I mentioned that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instructed him to destroy the two famous idols in the Arabian Peninsula. One was Al-Lat, which was situated in Taif, and the other was Al-Uzza, which was between Makkah and Taif in a place called Al-Nakhla. So just two things to mention before moving on. So why did our beloved Messenger instruct him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet so many of his noble companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, why did he instruct Khalid bin Walid to do this, radiyallahu? And one plausible explanation could be that the verses in which Allah the Almighty and Glorious, subhanahu wa ta'ala, condemned his father, i.e. in Surah Al-Mudathir, this would obviously be constantly something very hard upon Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu. So when he would recite those verses, you can only imagine hearing verses in which condemns your father. So when he destroyed Lat and Uzza, the verses in Surah Najm, where Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, "Afara'aytum al-Lat wal-Uzza," these verses then gave him great pleasure, because he was told to destroy those two idols. So a beautiful explanation could be that now when he was reciting those verses, he thought it was I who was honored to destroy those two idols. So in the same glorious book, note, certain passages gave him great pleasure, and he considered it a great honor that he was given the opportunity to do this. The other verses were hard upon him, obviously. And secondly, like I mentioned yesterday, Al-Uzza was destroyed first in Nakhla, Lat was destroyed second. But in the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions Lat first. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةَ. So why, what was the wisdom in which our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave orders to destroy Al-Uzza first? And the response is, Al-Uzza was the idol of the Quraysh. So if he had given orders to destroy Lat first, the people of the Thaqif would have thought they've left their own idol, and they're destroying ours. So note the divine wisdom, why the Prophet gave orders to destroy Al-Uzza first. So all of these things are certainly worth pointing out with regards to the incident where the idols were destroyed. So moving on. Entitled, The Battle of Hunain. It is related that when Makkah fell peacefully in the 7th year of the Hijrah, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had thereupon stayed there for 10 days, as recorded by Sahih Bukhari and Fath al-Bari 16-132. So when Makkah fell, he was there for 10 days, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As these momentous events were taking place in the mother city, meanwhile the powerful Hawazin and Thaqif tribes had arrived, and they had ascended into the Hunain Valley intending to fight. Indeed, they had assembled thinking that they were the intended target of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's march from Al-Madinah. However, when they learned he was in Makkah, they began to thereupon recruit fighters and work on the logistics. Recorded by Tabari in his Tariq 3-70, Ibn Ishaq, Zahbi in his Al-Maghazi, page 571, is Hassan. So simply put, the Prophet is heading towards Makkah with 10,000 companions. The Hawazin, they were thinking that he's coming for this. Well, then suddenly he swerved towards Makkah. So they had already prepared a force to deal or to combat the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they realized he's in Makkah, they thought, now we can recruit more fighters, and we will be ready for him if he intends to come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, they brought their women and children along so that none of them should flee, and also sought help from the Ghadafan and other tribes, recorded in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So not only had they got their own men, they brought their women with them and children and their livestock so they wouldn't flee, and they recruited the help from other tribes. Meanwhile in Makkah, after collecting all important military information, Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now made his own preparations. He set off with around 12,000 men, the largest Muslim army to date, recorded in Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-121 Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah 4-118. So look how interesting. Makkah has fallen. How many Sahaba entered? 10,000. 10 days later, or a few days after that, how many leaving to deal with the threat? 12,000. Where did 2,000 ex-Muslims come from? So this shows there was mass conversions. So 12,000 were now being sent out to deal with this new threat. Why 12,000? The Prophet ﷺ said in Abu Dawood, 12,000 believers can never be defeated due to want of number, i.e. as long as their tawheed is in place. The enemy forces numbered 20,000, as recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullahi in his Al-Maghazi 2-893. So look again, even though the Muslims are now strong, the unbelievers managed to still get numbers almost double to resist the believing forces. Some of those who had recently embraced Islam thereupon boasted of their numbers, thinking it would be impossible to be defeated. The Holy Prophet expressed displeasure over this. So think about this. Some people recently just become Muslims. You can excuse them for thinking this or saying this. But some of them, you know, they said, how can we lose? Because there's 12,000 of us. The Prophet didn't like that statement. Why? Because this causes divine displeasure. As the believers arrived at their new camp in the Hunain Valley, news of their arrival was conveyed to the chieftain of the enemy forces, Malik ibn Auf, by his agents. He guessed that the Muslims would know that his army was at Autas, and would thus expect to fight him at or near Autas. He thus put his master plan into action. So Malik ibn Auf, he was the chieftain of the enemies. And he was a brilliant strategist. He thought the Muslims are thinking we're going to face them on the plain of Autas. So what he did was, he set a trap. The believers' intention was to get through the defile, the valley of Hunain, before the enemy came to know of their movement. The advance guard consisted of the Banu Sulaym under the command of Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, and behind it marched various other Muslim units. So simply put, they had to go through a strategic place where a trap could easily be set up. It was a small defile. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't receive revelation. Why? Because they were boasting. And this is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's going through. But who's the advance guard of the Muslims? Khalid ibn Walid. And the tribe under him is the Banu Sulaym. And this tribe later apostatized. Banu Sulaym. Right? But at the time they were Muslims. So Khalid bin Walid is leading the front. He's in the front, eagerly anticipating a lively battle with a surprised enemy at Autas. Khalid increased his pace, radiyallahu anhu. However, as he neared the fateful defile, he sensed with his unerring military genius that this would be a perfect place for an ambush by the enemies. However, he brushed this thought aside, confident of victory with the Messenger of Allah behind him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look how interesting. And brilliant people are like this. They have an unerring sense of something, you know, untoward. And he saw it. This is an ideal place for an ambush. But then he thought, the Prophet told me to go forward. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he's being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who am I to even think this? So look how interesting. He brushed that thought aside and he went straight into the valley. Allahu Akbar. Then the storm broke. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu was the first to receive the shock of the ambush. The quiet of the dawn was shattered by 1,000 piercing yells, and the arrows came not in tens, hundreds, but thousands. Day appeared to turn to night, and the arrows came like hailstones, whistling, hissing, striking horse and man. So obviously, the only way we can picture this is when you watch those films. But when arrows are fired, it's a kind of a silence first, uneasy silence. Then all of a sudden you hear them, the arrows coming close, you hear the hissing sound. And then all of a sudden you notice pandemonium. So it was striking horse, man, everything. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu immediately cried out to his men to stand firm. However, his voice was now lost in all the noise and confusion. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was then suddenly struck by various hissing arrows from all directions and was thus badly wounded. He was then carried away with the tide of fleeing men and frightened horses. So arrows are coming everywhere, right, left, above him, behind him, and he's getting struck everywhere. Then his horse gets struck, he's lost control. The horses, frightened, balked, and the men on top obviously follow suit. It is related by Hafiz Humaydi rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Musnad 2-398 with a Hassan chain. After riding a short distance, this noble man fell from his horse and lost consciousness, unable to move because of his many wounds and loss of blood. So he was seriously wounded. He got out of the danger zone and then he just collapsed. Meanwhile, the majority of the believers merely dispersed in the confusion and took cover. No one quite knew what had happened. The confusion increased as camel mounted camel and horses and men ran into each other in a blind urge to get away from the ambush. Thus, as described, it was decreed that the believers entered into an ambush in the Hunain Valley and were completely taken by surprise. So now what's happened? The entire Muslim force had not entered the defile. It was the advance guard and the forward section of the Muslim forces. Somebody had fired an arrow too quickly. And once the arrow is fired, everybody has to now take part. That was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Malik ibn Auf had told them, only let loose when the entire Muslim force enters the valley. So it was a premature attack. But it got the front guard totally, and the front forces of the Muslims. And they were now basically pushing back the forces at the rear. It was related that barely 100 kept firm. How many was there? 12,000. 100 kept firm. Work it out. In Tirmidhi is Hassan, Fath al-Bari 16-141. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayh states Hassan in Sahih Sunan al-Tirmidhi 2-137. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I saw myself on the day of Hunain, when the people fled, that there was no more than 100 people with the Holy Prophet. So this is an authentic report. The son of Umar described it. He goes, I counted roughly 100, meaning he was one of them. He goes, the rest, they weren't there. It is related that the following remained firm. In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, in his Sirah 4-122, is Hassan, Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ali ibn Abu Talib, Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, his son, Fadl ibn Abbas, Rabia ibn al-Harith, Osama ibn Zayd, Ayman ibn Ayman ibn Ubayd, radiyallahu ta'ala. So we got a few names. Three of the Khilaf al-Rashidin remain firm, out of the 100. Uthman's not mentioned, radiyallahu. And Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith, not to be confused with Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, who recently embraced Islam, is the cousin of the Prophet. He remained firm. His son, the cousin of the Prophet, Fadl ibn Abbas, the another cousin of the Prophet, Rabi ibn al-Harith, Osama ibn Zayd, the beloved of the beloved of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his brother, Ayman ibn Ayman ibn Ubayd. So these are the few names that are mentioned in authentic reports who remain firm. Indeed, it is related that three of the most eminent companions, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala, all sustained injuries during this encounter. This is recorded in Bazar, Fath al-Bari 16-156, states Hassan al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawai 2-346. So Abu Bakr, Umar and Ali, they were all badly wounded in this ambush. Sayyidina Jabir elucidated further, radiyallahu anhu, Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhu were amongst those who stood their ground, each having received 10 to 20 blows that day. There's around 10 to 20 injuries they received, the two sheikhs, radiyallahu anhum. Where is that recorded? In Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat 2-150, Tabri in his Tariq 3-74, Ibn Hisham in his Sirah 4-124, Hafiz Zahbi in his Tariq al-Islam, page 574, Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, number 10,264-5, is Hassan, or 6-262-4. So authentic report mentions Abu Bakr and Umar received 10 to 20 blows in that encounter, radiyallahu anhum. Indeed, the ambush was so well executed, though premature, and the moment so critical for the believers nay for Islam itself, that our beloved messenger made the following dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you now so wish it, you will not be worshipped on the earth after today. Subhanallah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you now so wish it, you will not be worshipped on the earth after today. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 445, states, Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. So we really can't picture that. We got an idea from the reports, but that's how critical it was. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's up to you, Ya Allah. You want Islam to be destroyed? It's going to be destroyed now. It's up to you. We won't be sitting here discussing it, basically, if the Prophet didn't make this dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, all the while our beloved messenger was urging his beast of burden forward and was being restrained by his uncle Abbas and his cousin Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith. And he was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, Ana Nabi la kathib, Ana Ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is no lie. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. So let's look at this beautiful scene. So what's happening? Everybody's being forced back by the tide of the injured horses, mules, people, etc., etc. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's he doing? He's going forward. And who's holding it back? One is Abbas, holding the Prophet's, you know, blessed beast of burden back, and also his cousin, Abu Sufyan ibn al-Harith. And he's reciting, Ana Nabi la kathib, I am the Prophet, that is no lie. Ana Ibn Abdul Muttalib, I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. So he praised his grandfather. And we believe that his lineage, their heir, the prophets, siddiqs, companions, all hanifs. So the Prophet praised Abdul Muttalib. So this is a very strong proof to this effect. Otherwise he would not have mentioned it. Why did he not mention his father? He goes, I am the son of Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anh was then told to rally the men from the various contingents with his heavy and most resplendent voice. He says, oh Abbas, call the believers. So imagine, Khalid couldn't do it with his voice. But Abbas, he had one of those really supercharged voices. And he starts roaring out. And when he's roaring out, the Muslims start turning back. Because we've been called back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Sahih Muslim, Ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 450 of the English translation, Abbas himself relates, radiallahu anh, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his mule stared over at the unbelievers as though stretching forward to battle by himself. And he said, this is when the fire of war will heat up. Because this is the critical moment. This is when the fire of war will heat up. Then he picked up gravel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he threw into the faces of the unbelievers. And he said, may you be defeated by the Lord of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abbas said, radiallahu, no sooner had he thrown the gravel than the enemy's enthusiasm dulled and they retreated. Allahu Akbar, it's a miracle. Right? It's a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't explain it. He just picked some gravel up and he goes, may you be defeated by the Lord of Muhammad. And suddenly, they stopped. Imagine, you've got the upper hand, you've got the elevated position, everybody's retreating. It's all yours. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then did something and Abbas was subhanallah, because everything changed with the throwing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala's essential help descended, in which he says himself in the Quran. In Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 25, Audhu billahi min shaitan rajim. لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. Assuredly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did help you in many battlefields and on the day of Hunayn. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, I helped you on many battlefields. And then what did he mention? This day, I helped you here. Indeed, a few fortunate souls witnessed the divine aid on that day. How was the aid? Where did it come from? Jubair ibn Mut'im, he describes, radiallahu, I was with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the Battle of Hunayn. And whilst the battle was raging, I suddenly saw something like a black coverlet descending from the sky between us and the enemy. We saw it to be ants that had spread out all over and filled the valley. Immediately the enemy were defeated, We had no doubt that these were the honorable angels. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. This is in Bayhaqi, Hakim ibn Ishaq ibn Kathir, Seerah, volume 3, page 453 of the English translation. Let's look at this. Jubair ibn Mut'im, what did he say? Radiyallahu. He goes, it's Hunayn. We're fighting. The fighting broke out fiercely. And I saw, and this is the best way to describe it, it's like a black cloak. It's a black cloak starts descending from the heavens. He goes, what's this? And he goes, then it looked like ants. And it's the ants spread all over the valley. And he goes, immediately the enemy were defeated. And he goes, I have no doubt that these were the angels. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, Ja'far rahmatullah alayhi said, one of the Hawazin men, the unbelievers at the time, one of the Hawazin men admitted that when they tried to attack the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, a group of very handsome men came in between us and said, may these faces be darkened. And with this, we were defeated. This is recorded by Hafiz Zahabi in his Maghazi, page 583, with a Sahih chain. So think about it. They were targeting the Prophet, obviously. If you kill the Prophet, it's over. So a person just rationally thinks, well, why are they attacking everybody else? The main guys at the front, go for him. They were going for him. And they said, he goes, we were at striking distance. But then suddenly he goes, handsome men emerged. He goes, may these faces be humiliated. Who were these handsome men? So no people were witnessing this divine aid. This is explicitly mentioned in the Quran. In Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 26, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He describes, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وأذب الذين كفروا وذلك جزاء الكافرين. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did pour his sakina upon his messenger and the believers and sent down forces which you saw not. He punished the unbelievers. He reward those without faith. Allahu Akbar. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say? My calm, my help came upon my messenger and who? The believers. How many verses of the Quran describe these people as believers? So yet, shaitan said they weren't. So who do you believe? And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Send down forces which you could not see. He punished the unbelievers. This is the reward for those without faith. The Quran, but no details. It's the eyewitnesses who mentioned this help. So, the almost defeat turned to victory. Going back to Khalid, radiyallahu. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu, had thus missed the believers' counterattack. He was laying motionless where he had fallen. It is related in Ahmad in his Musnad, volume 4, page 88, Hafiz ibn Abdul Bar in his Al-Istiyab 1-407, that our beloved messenger, after the storm had finished, he made inquiries about Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu. He goes, Aina Khalid? He goes, where's Khalid, radiyallahu? And he was informed about everything. Because Ya Rasulullah, in the initial wave, he was struck, he's lying injured. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went towards where Khalid lay, radiyallahu anhu. Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu anhu, as if by a sixth sense, he felt the Prophet was coming, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he mustered up his phenomenal strength, even though he was lost a lot of blood. And he sat up as a mark of respect. But he was so weak due to loss of blood that he had to decline against the saddle. So imagine, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can't even stand up. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he basically just slumps up like this and rests his back because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then got off his beast of burden and looked at the various wounds. And immediately, subhanallah, he applied some of his holy saliva to the wounds. Allahu Akbar. Immediately Khalid bin Walid recovered. Allahu Akbar. Immediately. Because the redness came back to his blessed face. Meaning it was another miracle. So this shows that Khalid was almost dead, for want of a better word. But it was a miracle which, and Allah had obviously things in store for Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu. But imagine the wounds. We don't even know what the wounds were, but he must have lost so much blood. Don't forget the battle had taken place. How much time has passed? He's bleeding, unconscious. And then just blessed saliva on the wounds. Imagine, you see those miracles, you know, miraculous wounds healing up. and the marks still remained. His whole body was full of marks of jihad. Mm-hmm. But he was getting them now in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In conclusion to the encounter at Hunain, this was indeed the first time that Khalid bin Walid had been taken by surprise, radiallahu. Undoubtedly, he had always known the invaluable nature of surprise. But this time, he had been on the receiving end of it. He now saw how his otherwise brave men had panicked at the sudden appearance of the enemy at an unexpected time and an unexpected place. He there and then made up his mind never to be caught unaware again. And subhanAllah, he never was. So, question. He was caught by surprise. To be absolutely fair, was he caught by surprise? No. He knew. The only thing that made him go forward was because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's put me at the front, he's told me to go. Who am I to question the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But what huge lesson was now being taught to the Muslims? The huge lesson that was being taught to the Muslims was, don't boast about your numbers. You understand? You know, when you just make that statement, people don't appreciate it. They boasted. And that is what caused it. That's why the Prophet showed his displeasure. Right? And also Khalid himself later fell into that again. I mentioned if he's still alive next few months, right? Because he fell into that. He made that mistake again. And he had to pay for that again, radiallahu. So note these. Why? Because when you're fighting with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make all efforts, but nothing to do with you. Allah is the one who gives victory. So not even on the battlefield, Allah the Almighty and Glorious wants purity. Right? People gung-ho, I'm going to go on jihad, brother, go and sort yourself out first. Right? You want to do jihad? You know, he goes to gym, he thinks I can do jihad. Right? He goes, look, now you got to sort your nafsa. You'd be more of a burden for this. Imagine one person blurts, yeah, we can't lose. The whole army suffers. Right? And that's why before you get onto the battlefield, there's a bit of training that needs to be done. All help, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Have you read the Quran? No. Have you studied the seerah? No. You know about Hunain? No. And you want to go on battlefield? Fruitcake, right? Astaghfirullah. So no powerful lessons been taught. And the other thing is, Khalid, this wasn't a weakness on Khalid's part. Khalid bin Walid obeyed the messenger without question. Even though he felt this is an ideal place for an ambush, he overrode that. You can't say it was a mistake, because the Prophet gave him orders. You go into the front. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, he was honored to have the wounds of jihad. Our beloved messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Tirmidhi and Mishkat, two drops and two marks are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two drops are the teardrop out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the marks and the blood that pours out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the two marks, the prostration marks in worship, are your forehead, knees, feet, and the marks of jihad. All of the Khalid bin Walid, every one of them. So Lord, it was an honor that his body was being covered, because he was the sword of Allah. This was the badges of honor. And his body, we don't have these fake medals. What are these medals about? Right? The marks on the body is of honor for the Mujahideen. For instance, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu was giving the spoils of war, and he was handing out to the people who needed it. And this man came, and he started handing him, and he didn't stop. So the people looked, why isn't Amir al-Mu'mineen stopping? So the man embarrassingly gets up himself, walks away. Later, somebody goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, why did you give him more? He goes, didn't you see the mark? Because I would give him everything. But he got up. Meaning there's a mark of jihad. And Umar goes, just keep giving him. If he doesn't get up, he takes the whole lot. That's the honor. Not go into Queen's presence, kneel down, there you go, see you later. Right? And they start showing you a little badge off. Right? That stuff. What's that going to do? Then the guy goes back to his counselor, can't even pay council tax. Right? Imagine that one. What's all that about? Is that honoring your Mujahideen? Right? Imagine even. Astaghfirullah. So again, lessons to be learned. So note Khalid bin Walid and also other things which are worth mentioning in Hunain. A lot of the people embraced Islam. And they were on the wrong side, they were on the side of the Thaqif. They were the ones who witnessed the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why? It's to strengthen them. It was a gift for them. They later became Muslim. For example, in Badr, Khadija's nephew, Hakim ibn Hizam, he was on the unbeliever side. And he himself said, I saw people, horses were floating, and I saw heads coming off, and I saw people I've never seen before. And he was on the wrong side. And then later he became Muslim. So what was that? That was a sign to say, look, join the forces of goodness. So this is again why Allah Ta'ala shows the unbelievers these signs, to give them further opportunity to rectify their ways. And no, they would have killed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If somebody asks you, I haven't got time for a lengthy discourse on Hunayn, just give me one paragraph showing how critical it was. You mentioned the dua of the Prophet. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, if you don't want to be worshipped again after today, it is up to you. That's how critical it was. Mm-hmm. So even though we got all these details, we still, can you appreciate that Islam would have been destroyed? What happened to Malik ibn Auf? And you got to give him credit. He caught the Muslims in the trap. But sadly, he wasn't used later for any major campaigns, though he was a brilliant strategist. Right? His name is not mentioned. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من شر الانجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر صدق الله العظيم